Kuf Lamed Beis Halacha Kuf Nun Aleph. Kuf Nun Aleph, the laws of Nivel Peh. Swear like a sailor. Why a sailor? Only a sailor? What does that come from? What?
It's an English expression.
What did I skip? I skipped? What did I skip?
I said, no, what did you should skip it?
We should skip it? No. Okay, let's see. Kuf Nun Aleph. The Koyach Adibor. Okay, look at these very frightening words. Kodov Ata Bifihem V'rochek Mikil Yosehem. It says in the Pasuk that a person, a phony, page Kuf Lamed Beis. Kuf Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis, the heart. Kuf Lamed Beis. Halacha Kuf Nun Aleph on the very bottom of the page.
Yep.
It says the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Kodav Ata Bifihem V'rochek Mikil Yosehem. We are describing phonies, fakers. And how do we describe them? They are very close to Hashem with their pet. They speak so nicely. Oh, Ribbono Shel Olam, Tzadik Hashem B'chol Derecha V'chasid B'chol Ma'asav. And they say, Baruch Hashem, the whole day they're saying all these nice things. But the truth is, they're Rochoik Mikil Yosehem. They are distant in their kidneys. Why do we focus on kidneys? Kidneys is the part of the body, Chazal tells us, gives us good advice. The Eitzos. All of a person's decisions are rooted in his kidneys. Now, is there any scientific knowledge to back that up? I'm not aware. Who knows? Maybe one day, every day they always are new discoveries, things that we never thought, like we had this whole thing with this new revelation about brain death, you told me. They thought that a person is brain dead. He's brain dead, and the truth is they've discovered now, even what they thought originally was brain dead as can possibly be, no. As long as there's some blood going to the brain, there's still some activity, you never know. Who knows? Chazal tell us that there's something that the kidneys impact the kidneys have on a person's decisions.
Allegorically, maybe kidneys separate the good from the bad.
Right, so it's a concept. You want to say that it's not a physical, that's the pashtus. It's not kidneys have nothing to do with the brain. It's a matter of kidneys cleanse the blood. And when you make a decision, think about it, what are you really doing when you make a decision? Every time you have a dilemma, You're being pulled in two ways. Should I do A or B? Should I go? Should I not go? Let's take away all of the noise. The reason why you may want to do something is because of five different reasons. I'm going to show you now three of those reasons are total nonsense. Total nonsense. Let's get rid of it. Does it make a difference now? I have a dilemma. Should I do A? Should I do B? Only reason why by me it was a dilemma was because I have five reasons why I should do A and five conflicting reasons why I should do B. But if I show you now that B, the five reasons that you were considering to do B, three of those five reasons are really nonsense. So now it's five against two. Oh, now I'm going to do A. So what?
The two that are left to be more paramount.
Maybe, that's right. But you're right, 100%. But it changes the equation. It's a new question now. The equation has changed. What has changed? You have filtered the nonsense from quality, from the essence. Okay, you filtered. So the kidneys, they cleanse the blood from the toxins. When you make a decision, when you go to Bishoyel Eitza, isn't that very common? You go to a wise person, a person goes to a doctor. So you have a concern. What should I do? What should I? A person has a question, a business decision. Should I invest in this stock? Should I take this job? And you present all of the information. So what happens many times when you go to an expert and you discuss it, they show you that what you thought, what your question, your dilemma is built upon certain assumptions. And many times they'll show you that these assumptions are not correct. You're making mistakes. They're filtering nonsense. They're filtering something which is not real. And then the equation changes. And now you can come to a clear decision what you want to do. Now notice, that's very different then going to be shoyel eitzah, I go to a person, I have a decision, and they tell me, did you realize that there's another reason why you should do A? Oh, I didn't realize that. It also changes the equation. But that's not what the kidneys do. You see the difference? If you go to a person to ask him, I have a dilemma. Should I do A or B? Should I marry this girl or not? So he says, why do you want to marry her? What are the reasons that you want to marry her? And what are the reasons why you don't want to marry her? And then the Chacham says, you know, there's another reason why you should marry her. Because of this reason. That's not part of the kidneys. The kidneys are not giving you anything new. The kidneys are just taking away the waste or the toxins. You go to Chacham, should I marry this girl? Should I marry this girl? The Chacham says, there's another reason that you may not be aware why you shouldn't. He says, what are the reasons why you don't want to marry her? A, B, C, D. Well, you should know C and D are not correct. Your premise is incorrect. So we've removed two of the reasons why you should not do it. So now we're left with a decision. The majority tells me I should. That fits very well with the mashal of the kidneys. When you shoyel eitzah and the chacham that you present your dilemma removes from the equation information that you were using that was influencing your thinking. But it's not a good analogy when you go to a chacham and the chacham presents you with new information that you were unaware of.
Well, you could have that with the kidneys as well.
No, not that I know of. The kidneys don't introduce into the blood something new.
I'll give you an example. A person, and I know a neighbor of mine, he had to change his diet completely because of impact on the kidneys. And he didn't know it until he started realizing the foods that he was
symptoms.
Eating had both a negative and a positive impact on the function of the kidneys. It really generated from that. Plus, it had, obviously, his kidney condition had impact on other parts of his body as well. In other words, heart disease, sugar levels, etc., etc.
Yeah, but generally, what do the kidneys do? From what we understand, the kidneys...
If you eat certain foods, it can have a major impact. Yeah. That's what
What is the function of a kidney in biology 101? What is the function of a kidney?
To cleanse out...
The cleanse. Not to inject new nutrients and new vitamins
but
and minerals.
Less, but he found out if you eat differently...
Okay, fine.
The impact on the kidney's problem... In other words, he had damaged kidneys. That was his problem. He didn't want to go initially to
bed. Well, let's discuss a healthy person with kidneys that are functioning, Baruch Hashem, 100%. What is the function of a healthy kidney? To cleanse. So when we have this very popular analogy, all the time we have this analogy that the kidneys are yoyatzos. The kidneys are advisors. What does that mean? I'm just asking general, what does that mean? The kidneys, they provide advice. The kidneys, they filter the blood. When you go to be shoyel eitzah, there are two different types of situations that happen when you go to an expert to ask advice. Either they cleanse you from foolish thoughts, or they provide you with new information. Correct? So when they remove the foolish thoughts, or they show you the information that you have is incorrect, that fits very well with the idea of a kidney. But the other type of chacham that gives you new information that you were not aware of, it doesn't seem to really fit into the analogy of a kidney. All right, let's go further.
Yeah, but you could do it. You could say it. When you go to a doctor, it says the urine analysis is the kidneys reject.
Yes.
But the analysis inform you something. If you
do urine
analysis, they said, you have too much sugar in the blood, stuff like this.
It's a clarification. So that's so fine, but it's fine. It's fine. Okay, so another idea. It's a clarification. what the waste that it produces clarifies what the situation is. Until now, you're in a fog, but it's still not providing you with new information.
Yes, it is. You didn't know that, as was just said.
That's secondary.
Before you went to the doctor, you didn't know that you had the blood had certain.
So it clarifies. It's a clarification of what the situation is.
Yes, and what if you may not have known before.
Okay, maybe you're right. I hear what you're saying. It's a different avenue. All right, I have to think about this. Yeah.
Today, there are more and more people who are getting kidney transplants. So why don't they make a survey?
They've done a study.
If the change in personality.
There is. They've done a study. There are many, many studies. And the answer is, yeah, absolutely. People, all different organs. This has already been proven over and over in all different organs, especially with heart transplants. When a person gets an organ from someone else, all of a sudden they have different hobbies and different foods that they liked. Person, yogurt, ugh. I wouldn't eat yogurt if my life depended on it. All of a sudden, after he gets a kidney transplant, he can't stop eating yogurt. Person wouldn't even think of tennis. What a boring sport. And now he got a heart transplant. The whole day he's watching tennis tournaments. So what's going on? It's true. This meisen b'chol yoyim. Meisen b'chol yoyim. People who receive organ transplants, even small little things. Even small little things, they find, they take on new interests in life. It affects their way of thinking. How does that work? No one knows. Obviously, there's something about our DNA, even in one organ that has everything there. It has an effect. Look, the Chazal say this, and it's only understood now. Chazal say that every organ does everything. In other words, the eyes, the Feirush Medrash, the eyes, not only do the eyes see, they also hear, the eyes smell, the eyes touch, and the eyes, what are the other senses?
Taste.
They taste. It's just that the primary function of the eye is to see. Okay, the source for this is V'chol Ha'am, Royim es ha-koyles. They saw the koyles. The eyes hear. It's just that we don't focus on the hearing. The primary function is to see. But the eye also can hear. By Har Sinai, their senses were enhanced to such a degree that all of the Ivarim did everything. And the one example the Torah gives is that the eyes also.
We have English expression. I see what you're saying.
I see. Well, that's a different idea. Today they can take. Today, embryonic research. I read this. You do research. Don't trust me. The embryonic research. It used to be that they would take. They first discovered that they can take cells from an embryo and use those cells to develop organs. They had to go take the cells from the embryo, stem cells from a fetus. Today they already have technology where they can take cells from any part of the body. If they need in a laboratory to grow a heart, they can take a person's ears.
Right.
They can take a person's eyes and grow a finger. They can take a person's heart and use it to grow new ears. Because in every single organ of the body is everything. And you just have to know how to manipulate the particular
DNA
of a cell from any part of the body. And you can use it to create in the laboratory with this very sophisticated technology, obviously, any organ that you want, if you know what you're doing. Unbelievable. And when this came out, everyone, all the chachamim were all darshaning. You see, Chazal were right. When Chazal said, V'chol ha'am royim es ha-koylois, in the eye, in the DNA of an eye, there are cells which can be used to create ears, which means there is a koyach of shmia in the eye. You just have to know how to activate it, how to manipulate these cells to hear. Now, to us, it's total nonsense, science fiction, such a thing, but at least in the laboratory, it's been proven that it's correct. That in the eye, you take a person's eye, you can take the DNA in the eye and go take some tissue and take whatever, this and that, and put it into some incubator, and poof, you have now an ear, ear cells, and you take that and you can transplant it in another human being or in an animal. It's an amazing thing.
So the person to death theoretically could hear by seeing?
I don't. Today, obviously not. But there is such a principle. I don't know what all the details. I want to go further.
They saw the waves of the voice moving.
The voice waves.
Yeah.
They see the waves. Call the dolls below yourself. Call. They said also. They say that a person speaks. When you speak, you create a sound wave. The sound wave does never ends. It never ends. Where does it go? It keeps on going, going. It comes extremely weak. What? Right. But we do not have the tools. We do not have the tools to pick it up as it dissipates. But theoretically, even a dog comes to a certain point where the dog loses the ability, the sensitivity to pick up certain waves because they become too dull. But theoretically, if you have the correct tools and sensitivity, you can pick up a sound that was said 5,000 years ago. You want to hear what Moshe Rabbeinu said? You want to hear what he sounded like? You want to hear Moshe say, "Eile hadvar mashadim Moshe yuwe ma'an Torah"? It may one day come when there'll be technology where you'll be able to hear what it sounded like when people spoke 5,000 years ago. You'll be able to watch a video. You'll be able to reconstruct even light. When a person moves, he's moving light. Whatever you do is recorded. It's there. It's in the ear. It's in the avir. We just don't have the tools and tools to sense it, to pick it up. But who knows what's coming down the line, the pipeline, the technology that will one day come into it. Come up here, you'll be able to extract these things.
Maybe with careful camera, they can take picture of them some ways. I saw that when they wanted to bring a ruach, someone, they wear a special camera that they take video when the ruach is coming, presenting the soul to ask him some questions. They could make a video from this.
Yes, yes. There are a lot of things that they can do today. Let's go further. These are people hamotziim chet v'nibul peh oidover ra al charem v'kavana v'oimrim hamokam yimcholana. So he's taking this pasuk totally out of context. I told you the very simple interpretation. People who speak with their mouth, Baruch Hashem, everything is wonderful, but in their kidneys. Their kiddies that are giving them advice, which is concealed from the public, it's rotten. It's not with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the advice. It's all connivory against Hashem. He is now taking this pasuk and giving us an entirely new interpretation. If you look on the left side of the page, he explains what he means. On the left side of the page, he writes V'hachi Kamar, the last little short paragraph. HaPasuk Karvat B'fiyam Sh'aymen B'fiyam Sha'ata. People, they say, Hashem will forgive us. That's what they say. The peh is not like the parshat. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I love Hashem, everything is wonderful and everything is good. Korov means they say, we'll do whatever we want, Hashem will forgive us. Aval b'yemes. Rochuk ata mikil yoseihem. Tahainu bimachshavoisam shechashvu. But the truth is, you are far from their thoughts. Hashem, you really do not agree with what they are thinking. So the word kil yoseihem over here is just another term of thinking. They say to themselves, I will do whatever I want and Hashem will be koroif to me. I will speak nivul peh. I will curse like a sailor, But you know what? Karev Hashem. Hashem loves me. Hashem accepts it. Hashem will forgive me. But the truth is, no such thing. Hashem has distanced himself from such a person for speaking and for speaking nivul peh. Now, the reason why that you can say this about anything, but the reason why we focus on nivul peh is because of the word bifihem. Koroiv Hashem bifihem. The way he interprets the nasty, a nivul peh that comes from bifihem, comes out of their mouth, a person foolishly says, Korev Hashem, Hashem is still close to me. Even though from my peh, my comes out, nivul peh, Hashem, he loves me, he's near me. But Hashem says, I'm far from what you're thinking. You think that you can be mighty with your peh, nivul peh, and I'm korev to you. This machshava, which is coined in the term of the kidney, because the kidney gives advice, is synonymous with the thought, is far from the way I will think.
What is
anything? Not lashon hara. It means anything disgusting. Tameya, vulgarity. The Torah says behema hatahora or behema she'enene tahora. The Torah was ma'akim, went out of its way to be marich and say a behema that's not tahor, where it could have easily said tameya and save the sofer and the balkriya. Couple of letters, 8 letters. It was marich in order to teach man that it's proper to speak in a refined way, even though you're going to have to exert yourself and speak more. So we're not even discussing lashon hara. We're discussing a manner of speech to speak with refinement, to speak with derech eretz. So,
but the Torah does say behemoth.
So they all ask the question. Sometimes it does, sometimes it does not. And that's the discussion. Why did Chazal pick up on this example? Why here, not there? So there are many, I don't know all the details now, but there are many answers to that question.
No.
There are certain sections when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the mode of speaking. And when he's speaking, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he speaks in a refined way. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just listing the rules, then as a matter of fact, of a record of what happened, then there's no hakpada to say Tameya. But when there's a conversation taking place, then it's done in a refined way. That's a side question. But the Torah teaches us that there is something to speaking in a refined way, even if it's not a matter of lashon hara. Curse words is not proper. There is no word in the Torah for relations men and women. There is no such word. There is the word is shechiva. Shechiva means to lie down. There is no word to describe the act of a man having marital relations. There's no such word. The word is shechiva. Okay, there are the different parts of the body.
Or bia. Coming.
Bia means coming. Right. There's a borrow, that's a rabbinic term. That's a rabbinic term. Bo'al lechu usneya. So there, what does it mean in that context? Yaakov says, "Havu ishtai, give me my wife." What? And then he says, "So Chazal even they're shocked. That's how Yaakov even talks. He says, give me my wife, and I want, give me my wife. I want to do to her what I'm going to do with her." And that's how Yaakov even talks. Chazal asked that question. He asked, "What in the world is going on over there? What's wrong? What's being so vulgar?" The Torah says it's also to do that. Koroi v'ata b'fiim v'rechad min b'kil yosem. Eilu ne'adam ha'moitzim chet v'nibul peh o'dover ra al chavreihem b'kavana v'oim ne'ese ha'mokom yimcholonu. Hashem will forgive us. Hashem is koroiv. Even though we said b'fihem, what came out of our mouth is disgusting. V'einam b'malam ha'yira ki einam yirei chet or not yirei chet k'v'loi shevet. These people have no yira shemayim. It's a sign, there's no yira shemayim. The rod of Hashem, Hashem's power is not upon them. It shows that they're not, if Hashem, they had a sense of Yira Shamayim, they would be able to control themselves and not allow this to come out of their mouth. They think that Hashem is going to forgive them. It's shocking what he says over here, such harsh words. Because they know A person that speaks with these vulgar terms, in essence, they know that Hashem exists, and they are in a state of open rebellion. Speaking with these, a person who speaks like this, according to the Sefer Hasidim, it means you're a rebel. You're a person who is makir the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you have kavana to rebel against him, like Nimrod and his companions. It's extreme terms. It's not the way the average person thinks. The average person, unfortunately, is a little loose. You always can tell a lot about a person the way that they speak with Nivul Peh. People that speak with Nivul Peh, it speaks volumes where they're holding in life. There are certain people, their whole life never ever come out of their word a four-letter word. Never. And there are people in public, they're very nice. And then you go get to know them personally, shocked. You're shocked when you hear it comes out of their mouth. And even though they're very frustrated, and you know, you can't judge another person, obviously. People have under enormous pressure of a lot of nisyonos in life, and it really has an effect on a person. But it shows, it does definitely speak volumes of where we're holding life. Go watch television. It's a horror to watch television or go to a movie. It's the words.
You see it in the workplace, right?
Like, what?
You see it in the workplace. I'm sure Marilla's kid could tell us what you see. You hear kids in college.
Yeah.
I hear it.
Yeah.
School kids, I'm walking down
all the time. From people. I'm not even saying about Goyim. Goyim, they have no from nothing. But unfortunately, amongst from people, you hear it a lot.
But it's the culture. If you work in a workplace,
usually
day
after
day, you know.
It has an effect on you. I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When we were children, if you would say something not right, what would your parents do to you? Wash out your mouth with soap. You never heard that? Your parents never threatened to they're going to wash your mouth out with soap? You put soap in your mouth, you have to rinse your mouth with soap because you said nivel peh? You never had this?
No,
you didn't do this to your children?
People think it's only words. That's the point. You know,
it's your neshama.
People think it's only words. It's only words. Whatever you say. But I agree with you. But it leads to a lot of other things.
Chazal, listen, you have to appreciate. But
it's called the coarsening of the culture. That's the term that's used.
I was once horrified. I saw from people. They were talking to a UPS guy. This guy, they were dressed with all of the trimmings, the bells and whistles of a ultra, ultra Orthodox Jew. And it was a UPS delivery man. And obviously, it was a business. And the guy comes every day, deliveries and pickups. And they were schmoozing. And I was standing right there. And the number of words of nivel peh that was said within 60 seconds...
By the front guy, not the UPS.
By both of them together. The number of words in 60 seconds that were said by both the front man and the UPS man were just... The Guinness Book of World Records doesn't have such... They broke the record. They broke the record.
Another variable also.
Chil Hashem.
Yeah,
of course. So what else is new? What else is new? Okay, so it's... We have to appreciate... Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chayim. Hashem vayibach ba'apov nishmas chayim. Hashem blew into man the breath of life. And the pasuk continues. Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chayim. Man became a living spirit. Targum. V'havas adam l'ruach mimalila. Man became a speaking creature. The definition of life is the koyach of dibur. That's the Targum Unkelus. The most fundamental translation of nefesh chaya. A living creature is ruach, a spirit, mimalila, that communicates. That's a shocking Targum. We wouldn't expect that from the Targum Unkelus. That you would expect from a Medrash, from a Maimar Chazal, you put on a back shelf. man became a living creature. I'm alive. Here I am. I'm alive. I have senses. I recognize there's a creator. I live my life. No, I don't speak well. I speak with nivel peh. All right, so what else is new? The Targum Onkelos says the definition of life is the ability to communicate. A person who takes that tool, that gift, and abuses it, and speaks nivel peh, is basically saying my neshama, my living spirit, is garbage. I speak garbage, I am garbage. My whole day, I say four-letter words. That's what it's all about, the whole day, one after the other. And talk about people's body parts and describe, you know what goes on, I don't have to go tell you, go sit on the bus. I used to go on the bus every single day. And what I hear on the bus is just, you thought you heard it all? You thought you saw it all? Every day there were chidushim, I never knew. I'm telling you, I'm thinking now of some of these things that are going through my mind. Unbelievable what you hear on the bus, when you hear people say, and the words. And this is your neshama. And for an Orthodox Jew to talk like this, there's something fundamentally wrong. And you're telling me now, no, it's not so bad because this is culture. It rubs off on you. We do this in society. I know someone, a from girl. Okay, I know this from girl, and I know this from a boss, and she has a very high profile job, and they do big business. It's like from a group of lawyers, and they work, and they call. They have teams of lawyers and clients doing major million-dollar deals, and one day, the partner of the firm, he calls in one of the associates, this from girl, this Beis Yaakov girl. And he says, oh, we're having today a closing. It's this big, big deal, and it's very tense. I want you to be there. You must be there. Here's the time. Make sure you're here. So she says, I'm not on this deal. I'm not working on this deal. I have nothing to do with this deal. I have a lot of work. I'm very busy. And what do you want me? He says, no, you have to be here. So he says to her, why? He says to her, when you are in the room with my partners and the clients, I've noticed your presence as an Orthodox Jew, who's a Beis Yaakov girl, there's no nivel peh. It's civilized. And when you're not in the room, we have a closing, you're not in the room, you know what happens? How the conversation goes? Do you want me to tell you what goes on? The nivel peh that starts coming out of the people's mouths is just unreal. When they see you, they're restrained and it's dignified. I know you're not on the deal, but I still want you here to participate because by you being here, you'll give dignity and there won't be nivel peh. Isn't that amazing? And I told this to someone, he said to me, you think it's only you know someone like that? I know some the same exact, I can top your story with another Maisa, and another same story. Over and over these type of stories. A frum person who has on him Yirah Shamayim, it changes everything.
Similar story that it says, Rabbi Meir Weiss, that told a story like this, it says in the Bengal economy, he used to go play whatever, basketball, racquetball with the kids, and happens to be between the learning in the middle of the day. So it was loudy, noisy, and he realized that, and he went to the neighboring bungalow, where he says, forgive me for the lady, which I make a noise. He says, and the lady says, opposite, I thank you. He says, when you play the ball with them, No nivel peh.
Yeah. Like I was in college. When I was in college, he was a professor. The professor was known to be an entertainer. I was once waiting. I had a meeting with him for something very important. I was waiting outside the classroom. I was waiting outside the classroom for him to finish the class because I had to ask him something very important. I was waiting outside. And I could not believe what I was hearing. He was making jokes dirtiest jokes I ever heard. And I was then, you know, very tmi mistake. I was much younger than Shivacha. I remember what he said. I remember the jokes. I can't even repeat to you the joke. I mean, it was amazing. What he was saying was just really off the charts.
Was it funny?
And this, what? It sure was. It sure was. Okay. Okay, no, and the students, he had them wrapped around his finger. These are goyim. These are, yeah, from people in the class also. That was him. Listen, that's the way it was. That's what he, this is it. And I couldn't believe. All right, listen, I heard about this. Fine. Okay. Then in the summer, I took his class. I took his class. I needed the class. I didn't care. I took the class. So I was expecting, I'm getting here in the class, all the dirty stuff. The whole class, he did not say one dirty word, not one dirty joke. And I was wondering why. I was really wondering why. And I found out, I think either I asked him or I asked, because I got to know him, and he told me in the class was a girl, a Beis Yaakov girl, from a very choshuva mishpacha, and I think her father asked him, my daughter needs to take your class. You have a reputation of, do me a favor. My daughter needs the class. She's a very tamimistic girl. Don't ruin her. Don't ruin her.
But it wasn't because of you then.
No, of course not. Of course not. Of course not. I can tell you the name of the girl. I know the whole.
Oh,
I was amazed how he was able to exercise self-control, and it was the class clean as a whistle. Not a word. What I heard in the hallway, I can't even believe, that was just kalachayat. I just happened to be passing by waiting for him in a few minutes, and the whole class, they were like, ha! It was like an entertainment show for them. Every class, he was a great teacher also, but he really, you know, and then this from Beis Yaakov girl was... not a word the whole summer. Not one word.
Is he able to tell good, clean jokes?
No, not really. Not really. Usually it comes with the territory. It's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says, it's a very frightening Gemara. They always tell us this in Yeshiva, this famous Gemara. It says in the Gemara, I think it's in the Masechta Kiddushin. The Gemara says, everyone knows why a Kala is walking down the Chuppah. Everyone knows what happens on the wedding night. Everyone knows what goes on the wedding night. Why a kala is walking down a chuppah. If a person dares to open up his mouth and basically make a dirty joke by a chuppah, by a wedding, when the kala is coming down, chasen and kala, what everyone in the back of their mind is thinking about, even if it was meant to be that this fellow was meant to have 70 years of a blissful, wonderful existence in this world, because of that dirty joke, cancelled. His all 70 years of blessing that was meant to be, Gesundheit, for a person, is cancelled. Because he opened up his mouth and made a dirty joke about the matter of what happens between a chosen and kala the night of their wedding. So gefer shugmam sech the kedushin. I mean, that gemara should send shockwaves down our spine of how seriously chazal, how to what degree they took into consideration the damage, the koyach hadibur, what it means not to say something that is vulgar. Okay, so it is something which is always requires chizuk. It requires tremendous chizuk, especially in this goyish world that we live in, and the dangers. You're walking down the street, the goyim have no restraint whatsoever. And even what used to be on television, it used to be there are certain things that were not said. Today already, all the standards have definitely been pushed way, way down. And it's just unfortunately, a very dangerous world. There's a koyach of speaking with refinement. It defines who you are. It defines your neshama, the nefesh chaya, a ruach mimalala. Where is your neshama holding? It all really depends on the Koyach HaDibur. It requires chizuk. It requires an enormous amount of strength to recognize this and to work on this and not to leave this world with four-letter words. I'm sure there are meshugayim out there. They put on their matzavas four-letter words. I have no doubt.
D-E-A-D.
D-A-D, dead. Dead, okay? There's no doubt there. There are meshugayim, all times of meshugayim out there. But it's kineged every matter of Kedusha that we know about. And he writes over here, the Sefer Chassidim, I don't think there's anyone in any Sefer you will find that goes to such an extreme and talks about someone who speaks Nivul Peh. He says such a person is in the category Lo Yoive Hashem Siloyach Loi. It does not get worse than that. Hashem will not be willing to forgive him, and this person, Kihem, people who speak Nivul Peh are in the category of Yoidim Oiso, they know Hashem, Umischavnim Limroit, and they have intent to rebel against Hashem. If you would write this in an editorial in the Flatbush Jewish Journal today, they would say a meshugana. The guy is an extremist, a fundamentalist. He's a meshugana to write such extreme things. What are you writing? What are you saying crazy things like this? You know, you have to know how to give mussar. It's not the way you give mussar to another person who speaks Nivul Peh to say such extreme terms. Hashem will never forgive you. You're Nimroid. And yet the Sefer Chassidim, he's not ashamed to say this. He's saying that's what it's all about. Koyach HaDibur is how sacred it is. Like I told you many times, this Sefer would never see the light of day if it was published in this generation. Everything he writes over here is very, not extreme, but it's very true. He's on the mark, and he brings it out in very, very unique ways. I'll stop here, take a very short break. We'll talk a little bit about Akdamas. I wonder about Akdamas and Yitziv Piskam, a general overview regarding some of the inyanim that are common to both.